Total Freedom Journey, Session 4, Freedom from the Pain of Our Past.
I want to talk to you today about freedom, the issue of being free in our lives. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I absolutely believe that Jesus came to set us free from every single thing in our lives that would keep us from loving God and knowing God and doing God's will for our lives. I want to talk to you about the issue of our past and being free from the pain of our past. You know, a lot of people, and I know I was this way for a long time, a lot of us have had things happen to us that are devastating. And I say that sometimes when I'm preaching, and I'll ask people, how many of you have had something happen to you that was devastating in your life? And almost everybody raised their hand. Well, the problem with us as children is we don't know how to deal with our pain. You know, it's great if you're living as a child and something bad happens to you and someone, a parent or a pastor or someone walks up to you and helps you deal with that, but it rarely happens. So what happens is when we go through trauma, when we go through divorce of our parents, abuse, rejection, failure, illness, that the devil uses that as an opportunity to implant messages within us that cause bondage. A bondage is a house of thoughts. That's one of the ways to look at bondage. If we're going to look at freedom and being set free, we have to understand bondage is a house of thoughts. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war. Well, who are we warring against? We're warring against the devil. And it says, we're pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a thought system within our minds that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Arguments. Have you ever been reading the Bible and your mind starts arguing with it? And you're reading in the Bible and it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you're thinking, well, God couldn't love me. That's an argument. Or God makes us a promise and you're reading the Bible and you read that promise. You think, well, that wouldn't happen for me. That's an argument. Strongholds, arguments, things that try to keep us from the knowledge of God. And it says the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Strongholds, arguments. The weapons that we have are the Word of God. We take every thought captive in our minds to the obedience of Christ. Listen, any thought you don't take captive will take you captive. If there are rogue thoughts in your mind or thoughts that disagree with the Word of God, see, this is how we decide what stays and what goes. If it's according to the Word of God, it stays. If it's not, it goes. It says, we are taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The word captive in the Greek language means spear point. It's like a soldier going up to another soldier and putting a spear at his neck and saying, you give up, you surrender. It says, we're taking every thought spear point to the obedience of Christ. The word obedience there is the Greek word hupakoi, which means to listen under. So the picture here in the New Testament is every thought that doesn't agree with God, we put a spear under its neck and we make it listen to what Jesus has to say, and then it has to leave. Any thought in our minds that doesn't agree with the Word of God, we're going to expel that thought. Now, and again, these strongholds that we're talking about can create incredible pain, incredible bondage. And this is nowhere more true than in the area of anger and conflict. You have pain from your past. You have hurt from your past. And the devil comes and establishes strongholds within the midst of that pain. The devil's the hurt whisperer. He shows up at the worst time in your life, and he's there to take advantage of your pain. And he comes by stealth. He doesn't announce himself. In the Garden of Eden, Satan took the form of a serpent because that most befits his nature. He's sneaky. He's stealthy. He doesn't want you to know it's him, because if you knew it was him, you would reject it. So he uses every opportunity that he can to slither into our lives in a place of pain, in a place of trauma, in a place of difficulty, to slither in our into our lives and tell us a lie about God, a lie about somebody else, or a lie about ourselves. So that now we have these strongholds, these lies within us that argue against the knowledge of God, that try to hold us and keep us from knowing God. That's why we take every thought captive. That's why the weapons of our warfare are mighty, and we're at war. We're at war with an evil devil that wants to take control of our minds. And by the way, did you know when Jesus died, he died on a place called Golgotha? The cross was stuck on top of a little hilltop in Jerusalem called Golgotha. Golgotha means the place of the skull. If you could have seen Jesus on the day that he was crucified, it would have been a cross stuck on top of a human skull. And when they pierced him in the side, blood and water flowed out of his side and hit the top of that skull. You know what that means? In the Garden of Eden, Satan came and he lied to Adam and Eve. And he took control of their thoughts. They rebelled against God and they became dark in their thoughts. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life. But one of the primary reasons that Jesus came is the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to set our minds free. The cross was about Jesus taking authority over the devil and over every lie that he has told us. And so the devil is stealthy. In the Garden of Eden, the first thing he did was come to Adam and Eve and said, has God indeed said? Has God indeed said? He lied to them and took them captive. So we become captive and in bondage right up here many times. But the way that we get free is we have to begin to inspect all of our thoughts. No rogue thoughts. No thought is allowed in my mind that disagrees with the Word of God. Let me specifically talk about the issue of being the pain of our past and the people who have hurt us. Ephesians 4 uncovers the devil. And it says, be angry, don't sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So be angry, nothing wrong with anger. Anger is a fine emotion. Don't sin, don't hurt anybody, don't justify bad behavior because you're angry. Don't let the sun go down on that. Put a timer on it. There's nothing wrong with today's anger, but yesterday's anger is a very dangerous thing. All bad things happen when you go to bed on anger, and that means you're unforgiving, that you're bitter maybe. And it says, when you do that, you give an opening to diabolos. That's the word for devil in Ephesians 4 there. The word diabolos means accuser and slanderer. Early in my marriage, I was not a good husband. I was saved. I was a believer. I was not a good husband. And I really believed that my wife was the problem in our marriage. I mean, I believed it. I just thought there was something wrong with her. She's married to Mr. Wonderful. What's her problem? And I went to bed mad at my wife for 3 years, many times, hundreds of nights I went to bed angry. I believed I'd made a mistake. I believed that I should not have married her. I believed that she was defective. There was something wrong with her, and she was the problem for all of our marriage issues. This went on for several years. And one day I came home, and she confronted me, and it made me mad. I told her to get out of the house. Well, that morning, I had read my Bible, and I'd read a scripture that says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll lead you into all truth. So my wife, I told her to leave and get out of the house. We're having a huge fight. She's in the bedroom crying. I go into the living room, and I remember that scripture I had read that morning. And I said, Holy Spirit, teach me how to be a husband, because I don't know. I was about to lose my wife. I didn't know what to do. So Jesus said, when you came, you were going to lead us into all truth, so teach me how to be a husband. At that moment, it was like something fell off of my eyes, the eyes of my heart, and these eyes. The instant before this happened, I believed I was married to the wrong woman and nothing would change until she changed. An instant later, as soon as I saw the Lord, my wife, the way the Lord did, that's what happened. The deception fell off of my eyes. I looked at Karen and I saw the most precious person on earth, and I knew I was a jerk. See, I was deceived. And the way that I got deceived was one drop of unresolved anger at a time and diabolos. Let me say this to you. If you're a grudge holder, if you're bitter at someone and you've gone to bed on that, you've been counseled by the devil and you don't know it. You see, the devil loves to interpret other people's motives to us, like your spouse. You go to bed angry at your spouse, you'll wake up different. How does a couple go from being so madly in love in front of a preacher to being so bitter in front of a judge? One drop of unresolved anger at a time kills the garden of your love. Well, I went to Karen that night and I repented to her. I mean, I just couldn't believe how I had been deceived. I was deceived. And number one, we made a decision from that point forward, we weren't going to go to bed on anger. And we haven't. And we have a wonderful marriage after 44 years. The other thing that we realized is the devil's real. And he hates us. And he is going to take opportunity with any anger in our lives to get us to not forgive someone and justify it. So when you put a label on someone, it gives you permission not to forgive them and even to mistreat them. So when you say, well, my wife is just a nag, you know, my husband's an idiot, my parents, my, you know, this and this, and we put labels on people. Well, God doesn't put labels on people because he loves everyone. Let me say it another way. Did you know that God loves your spouse? If you're married, he loves your spouse perfectly. Do you know he loves your parents perfectly? He loves your children perfectly, your friends. God loves everyone perfectly, and he wants to love them through us. That's the truth. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's what Galatians 5 says. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, God will not take an offense at my wife because he loves her perfectly. But the devil is a master at offending us toward people. See, if you're offended right now toward someone, I'm not saying everybody's right. I'm not saying that you have to be a target for abuse. But I'm saying if you're offended and you've been offended for a while and you're justifying that, you're under the influence. I'm telling you right now. You're under the influence of Diablos. Been there, done that. And you're in bondage. And here's what it means. See, unresolved anger, it's not just the emotion of bitterness and unforgiveness. It traps the pain of our past within us. If you were abused as a child, if your parents divorced, if you had some horrible thing happen to you, you were rejected, something happened, you were lied about, you were bullied, and that pain is there. The devil's going to use that pain, that anger that you have. Sometimes it's a right anger. But the chronic anger in our lives that we don't deal with, we don't forgive, we don't process it properly, the devil uses that as an open door to come and slander people to us. Our parents, whoever it might be, step-parents, ex-spouse, ex-business partner, ex-friend, whoever it might be. He's going to tell you lies. Again, you don't know it's him. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he slithered in. He didn't draw attention to himself. He just began to speak lies to them. And what happens whenever you go through trauma, I'm talking about being free from the pain of our past. The reason that pain gets trapped inside of us is unresolved anger and unforgiveness. It opens a door to the devil. He embeds that with lies. When we don't forgive, we go to bed on it. He embeds that with lies, and that traps the pain of the event within our lives. And I have ministered to many, many people who were abused as children. Horrible, horrible serial abuse as children. And it's horrible what was done to them. I've heard the stories of thousands of people telling me, you know, things that happened to them. And the only answer is forgiveness. The only answer. Matthew 18, interesting text. Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother? Seven times? I mean, it seems like a lot. Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, 490. But he wasn't saying 490. Jesus was saying, you always forgive. Then Jesus told a parable. In the parable, he tells a story about a master and a servant. And the story that he tells is like this. I'm paraphrasing this. He's saying there was a master and he had a servant that owed him $1 million. And he called him into account for his debt. And the servant said to the master, no, please have compassion on me. And the master did. And the servant that had just been forgiven $1 million went and found another servant who owed him $1,000. And he began to beat that fellow servant until he repaid him. Okay. Now, Jesus, again, is talking about forgiveness. This is Matthew 18. Let me read it to you. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should repay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Listen, he delivered him over to the torturers because he wouldn't forgive. Listen, unforgiveness is torture. It's torturing you. Okay? It's the old saying that unforgiveness damages the vessel it's stored in worse than anything you can spit it on. Unforgiveness is mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical torture. Whenever we don't forgive, literally, when we will not forgive, we're rebelling against God, and it exposes us to demonic torment. Okay? So Jesus said that we have to forgive from our hearts. Okay? Why? Why do we have to forgive from our hearts? Because our God is a gracious and loving God, and He forgave us $1 million. We're the servant in that story, by the way. We have been, when Jesus hung on the cross, He forgave us of a lifetime of sins. Okay? God will give us as much grace as we give away. If I want all of God's grace, but I want to give everybody else justice, it doesn't work like that. And this is the story that Jesus is telling. Another question is, who do we need to forgive? Others, God, and myself. Now, God's never done anything wrong. We don't need to forgive God because He's done something wrong. We need to forgive God because when we're going through things, the devil comes and lies to us and tells us that God doesn't love us. And where was God when your mother died? Where was God when that person did this to you? Well, where was God? And the devil loves, that's what he did to Adam and Eve. He said, God's a liar. God knows in the day that you eat that fruit, you're going to be better people. And you won't die. They did die. And their God was a wonderful God. People have hurt us. You know, the devil has lied to us about God. And many times we haven't forgiven ourselves. But I want to just tell you about one scripture. And this is in Luke 6. And here's what Jesus said. Because you're not going to be free until you forgive. And let me say it. The people that I have ministered to that were severely abused, they have to forgive the person who did it to them. Jesus hung on the cross and forgave the Romans and the Jews and everyone who put Him on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So Jesus demands of us that we forgive everybody. God never allows us not to forgive. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 6, 27. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. And I want you to listen to me. You have to bless the people that have done you wrong. You have to bless them. When you say, I've had people say to me many times, Jimmy, I just keep forgiving them and nothing changes. Blessing forces forgiveness out of our heads into our hearts. Jesus said, my Father will do this if you don't from your heart forgive your brother. Forgive the person who has wronged you. You can sit there and say you forgive a person all the time, but blessing them is a different thing. I hated a guy one time, really hated the guy. And his obituary would have made my day. And I just hated him. And my personality was changing. Karen told me one day, you're changing, Jimmy. I mean, I hate the guy. And I was praying one day, and the Lord said, I want you to bless him. And I thought, no, I'm not blessing that guy, Lord. I mean, I want him to die a gruesome death. I want an obituary with colored pictures of his death. And the Lord said, no, you bless him. You bless him. And it was so repugnant to me, the thought of blessing him. But I tried. I didn't mean it. I had my fingers crossed. I didn't mean it. And I said, well, Lord, bless him. Lord said, you pray for him the way you would pray for you. I thought, well, he deserves everything bad. I'm a good person. I don't deserve anything. Everything I get is because of the grace of God. So I blessed him. This went on for a week or so. And every day I would pray, and I would pray for him and his family and whatever. And every day when I prayed, I didn't mean it. I didn't like it. But about on day number 10 or so, I was praying, and this overwhelming sense of love for this man came over me. And the Lord kind of gave me a vision of this man and some abuse that this man had been through earlier in his life. It was a divine thing that happened. After that day, I never had another bad thought about that man. Not, God took this blessing, takes the stinger out. Okay. Now you know why people, you know that people did stuff to you. You don't know why. You don't know why. You don't know if it was done to them. See, many people who are abusers were abused. It doesn't justify it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God knows things about people we don't know. That's why He's the judge and we're not. You won't be free until you bless the person who abused you, your mom and dad, step-parents, ex-spouse, ex-business partner, employer, brother, friend. I don't know. I don't know. You know. Freedom, unforgiveness traps the pain of our past inside of us. Bitterness is like an invisible umbilical cord that connects us to our past and keeps feeding us from it. Forgiveness cuts the umbilical cord. Forgiveness takes the stinger out. Forgiveness tears the strongholds down from our mind. Forgive yourself. Forgive God. Forgive other people. Forgive from your heart. Bless yourself. Bless God. Bless other people. And what's going to happen when you do that? It's going to change everything. And sometimes you have to do it every day until it really, like I said, I did it for 10 days until the Lord changed my heart. But it changed me. I was free. Karen said to me, Jimmy, you're changing. You know what was happening? I was going into bondage. Literally, I would lay awake all night some nights thinking about getting back at that guy for what he had done to me. He had done something really bad to me. And I would just lay in bed and I would just kind of torture him. I had a little torture chamber in my heart and I'd drag him down there and beat him up all night. But it wasn't him in bondage, it was me in bondage. Jesus came to set you free, but part of freedom is the issue of forgiveness. My encouragement to you is get before God. Make an inventory of anyone that you feel like you haven't forgiven, and you bless them. You forgive them and you bless them from your heart every day until you know that it's over and that they're forgiven and that you're free. God bless you.